This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الإخوة الكرام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله ونسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل منا أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله أن يرزقنا بعلم نافع ورزقا واسع وعملا صالحا متقبلا عليه نتوكل وإليه ننيب ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After saying salam to you all, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to forgive us, to accept from us, to guide us, to help us, to shower His mercy upon us. And we ask Allah to nourish us with beneficial understanding and knowledge and wide sustenance and to give us a tawfiq for good deeds which are acceptable to Him. Glory be to Him. We are utterly dependent on Him. To Him we turn to in repentance. There is no power and might except that of Allah. Our final session for hadith number 26, which is Hadith of Abi Hurairah and others, and as Imam Nawawi reports it in those words from Muslim Bukhari and Bukhari and Muslim, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلو في الشمس. Every joint of a human being upon it is a charity. Every day the sun comes up. تعدل بين اثنين صدقة. Making good between two people is a charity. وتعين الرجل في دابة فتحمله عليها أو ترفع له عليها متاعه صدقة. To help a person onto their mount or to carry them onto it or to help them to put their belongings on it, in it is a charity. وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَ صَدَقَةً. And the good word is a charity. وَبِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ تَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةً. And every footstep that you take walking towards salah, in it is a charity. وَتُمِيتُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةً. And you're removing something harmful from the road, in it is a charity. That's the hadith. We looked at its various versions and linked it with the previous hadith, number 25, in which also it mentions various things. And we remember we said a few times that this is not a limited list, but the version of hadith which says, Kullu ma'rufin sadaqah, every good in it is a charity. Yeah. And various versions which mention about dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a long list. And we looked at sadaqah from various angles. One was sadaqah in a sense of financial material benefit to others, yeah, and then sadaqah or a charity which is non-material benefit to others, yeah. Most of these things in this hadith are of non-financial material benefit, helping, removing harmful stuff, etc., etc., isn't it? So we looked at that, as Ibn Rajab divides them, and others do as well, yeah. And then we looked also at beyond that, and especially we focused on material or non-material benefits to others as being a greater priority. And when one is unable to do that, then it comes down to, and you get that indication from all the hadith and from the Quran, then it comes down to, if you're, and Sahaba are asking, what if I'm not able to do that? And it comes back to, then you can at least say, yeah, with the previous hadith, rich people run away with all the rewards. So you can at least say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, which is a sadaqah to yourself, as I've said before, charity, including holding back bad from others, we said last time, is a sadaqah to yourself. Yeah, doesn't end you up in a situation or where you could be bankrupt on the Day of Judgment, as the hadith of bankruptcy we mentioned last time in the last section. Now, and included in goodness to others as a charity, we mentioned a particular focus last time on five or six things that were rights of Muslims upon Muslims. Yeah, from the hadith in Bukhari Muslim, yeah, as we mentioned, things like giving salam or returning salam, saying yarhamukallah when a Muslim sneezes and says alhamdulillah, yeah, giving nasiha for when somebody who's asking for advice, yeah, not rejecting an invitation, especially invitation by a Muslim calling you, yeah, and following the janazah, in other words, salatul janazah, at least for which is on the community. These are some of the rights from which we mentioned from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us move to in doing good to others. As we said, this list is not limited. Yeah, notice it here. It mentions help to others in the form of human beings. But when we talk about sadaqah and goodness, as Ibn Rajab and Imam At-Tufi before him quite rightly said, it includes good towards creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. And how sometimes bad behavior with a creature leads to hellfire, and we think the creature is insignificant. And good behavior with the creature, right, leads to paradise. Yeah. And there's great lessons in that, especially because the creatures mentioned here are cats. Well, we don't have much of a problem with cats, but dogs. We do have a problem with dogs. We love kicking them in case they get too close, etc. That's not good behavior towards dog. And this is because we got carried away with the idea that something is going to ruin our body and clothes, etc. And that's a big debate, and there's ikhtilaf on it. And I'm of the opinion that there is no direct evidence to say that that's going to cause najasa for your badan or your clothes. And that's the debate I don't want to get into, because the hadith is not on that topic now. But it's interesting. And Imam Tufi mentions a few examples quite rightly and nicely. For example, he mentions hadith from Sahih Bukhari. He says that the Rawi, the transmitter from the Sahaba, says, Ra'a rajul farhan qad waqa'a min ishi. Well, it's Prophet saying this, that a person sees a chick of a bird that's fallen from its nest. Faraddahu ilay. So he returns the chick back to the nest. Faghafar Allahu lah. So Allah forgave him for that. Subhan. You think about that. Now Allah forgave him just because he put the chick that's fallen out of the nest back into the nest of a bird. And we think it's just an insignificant thing. And yet it's not. Allah's forgiving him. What his sins are of this person or are not mentioned. Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? Allah forgave him or her who does something like that. What their mountains of sins are not mentioned, or whether they were small or large or not. It's not relevant. But the encouragement for a good act, and we're talking about this, is a sadaqah. It's a sadaqah which leads to complete forgiveness of sins. Subhanallah. And that's in Imam Bukhari's Sahih. And of course, then we have the famous story, which is mentioned. Two different narrations. Some said, oh, one's true, the other one's not. No, they're two separate stories. One about a man and another about a prostitute woman to do with a dog. About the man, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Baina rajulun yamshi fashtadda alayhi al-atash. While a man was walking along, yeah, he felt really thirsty. Thirst came upon him. فَنَزَلَ بِئْرًا فَشَرِبَ مِنْهَا. So he went down the well. Yeah. He didn't have one of those buckets you pull up, he's having to go down the well, which is interesting. Yeah. So he went down the well and فشرب, and he drank from it. ثم خرج فإذا هو بكلب يلحث. Then he came back out after making all this effort, and yeah, there in front of him was a dog that was panting. يأكل الثراء من العطش. It was eating the moist mud from the ground because it was thirsty, desperate for water. Yeah, the dog. He didn't come out and thought, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say he came out and then he was protecting his najasa from his body and the dog was near him. He started kicking it, yeah, telling it to get away. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go and have a shower. Yeah, which is most of what we would be doing. Yeah, I won't mention which madhahib. But instead, when he found this, فقال لقد بلغ, this is what the man said. لقد بلغ هذا مثل الذي بلغ بي. This dog is in a similar situation, state that I've just been in, desperate for water. فملأ خفه ثم أمسكه بفيه ثم ركيا فسقى الكلب فشكر الله له. Okay, so what does he do? Then he takes his khuf, the leather or the sock, you could say, but it's made of leather so it can hold water. Yeah. And then he fills it with water. In other words, he goes back down the well, takes off this khuf leather, puts water in it, holds it in his mouth, and climbs back up the well, right? And then he gives water to the thirsty dog to drink from his hoof, right? Yeah, so his own hoof, which he's going to put back on his foot, isn't he? So if the dog is full of najas, there's an evidence for you again. How is he giving it water? Right, and he must get near the dog to give it water. It's lapping it up from it with its tongue, right? So he's going to get near it, not be using a stick and saying, stay away, you know, 2 meters and I'll come on. No, he didn't pour it into something else. He gave the dog water to drink from his, you could say, his shoe or hoof or leather sock that he had. Yeah. فغفر الله. فغفر له. So Allah thanked him. فشكر الله له. Allah thanked him for it and forgave him. Allah thanking him for it means Allah was merciful to him. Yeah. Or like some ulama said, Allah is showing the angels, look, this is my servant. This is my slave. Yeah. So this is Allah forgiving and having mercy on him and forgiving him. فغفر له. Yeah. Qalu, so the Sahaba saying, listen to this story, which is not it's not a fantasy tale, by the way. This is truth. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling this story. Yeah, he's not making it up. It actually happened, obviously. That's why he's telling it. The companion said, Ya Rasul, O Messenger of Allah, wa inna lana fil baha'im ajran. Are you saying that for us there's reward in animals? This is Sahaba saying. Yeah. Reminding for us, is that, like I said about the little chick falling, what? Is there a reward in that? No. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, in response, في كل كبدٍ رتبةٍ أجر. Yeah. كل كبدٍ رتبةٍ. Kabd comes from liver. Sometimes they use it for a harbor, it means liver. And rotba from rutub means moist. So ulama say this is an expression to mean a living animal. Because once it's died, they say in Arabic, it's jaf. The liver's gone dry, the body's gone dry. It's sucked of life. While it's alive, it's like moist and living. So it's an expression to mean a living creature. Yeah, in each living creature, there is a reward. And how you deal with it. That's what the Prophet says. It's a general rule. Yeah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, of course, the one about in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith from Abu Hurairah, that anna imra'atan baghiyya رأت كلبا في يوم هار. That a prostitute woman, and in another riwaya, in a narration, it said a prostitute woman from the Bani Israel, meaning a believer. Belief is really important here, by the way. Yeah, belief, not mushrik. Yeah. So from the Bani Israel, in one report it mentions, she sees a dog on a hot day going around the well, the dog, because he can't get the water. Yeah, the dog's going around the well, doing tawaf. يطيفو ببئر قد أدلغ لسانه من العطش. It's panting with its tongue out of thirst. فنزعت له بموكها فغفر لها. So she drew water for it, yeah, in her shoe. She went down, brought water up again for the dog in her shoe, and she was forgiven for that. Forgiven for that. Subhanallah. Famous, most people know that hadith. Then on the opposite side of it, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Al-Bukhari, about a woman, وَإِمْرَأَةٌ دَخَلَتِ النَّارِ فِي هِرَّةٌ. A woman who was put into the fire or entered the fire because of a cat. Yeah, why? وَرَبَتَهَا فَلَا هِيَ أَطْعَمَتْهَا وَلَا هِيَ أَرْسَلَتْهَا. Yeah, she kept the cat tied up, didn't give it food and drink, and neither did she release it. تُرَمِّمُ مِنْ خَشَاش الْأَرْض. Didn't release the cat so it could go and feed itself from the vermin on the land. Yeah, mice, etc. They could catch for itself. So it kept it tied. Yeah. Hatta matat hazalan. Until the cat died, out of starvation. Hazalan skinny. It has not been fed. Yeah. So he put in hellfire because of that. Yeah. Cruelty to animals. Cruelty. It reminds me, actually, well, I haven't seen the advert for a while. I don't particularly like most of the adverts, especially nowadays. But the advert around Christmas, when they used to say, a dog is not just for Christmas. Yeah, because they were saying that because families would get it and then not look after it. Yeah, and treat it badly or ignore it. And dogs are more dependent than cats on their owners, the domesticated dogs. So here we have the opposite of badly treating an animal and what that leads to. Yeah. So those are some examples of a sadaqah in regards to, and even being forgiven for all sins in regard to how we deal with animals. Yeah. And this is in our deen, subhanAllah. This is not present day. This is from over 1400 years ago, we're taught this. Yeah, over 1400 years ago. And you go back in history and see how people have dealt with animals until recently. You know, the West has woken up to it relatively recently. Yeah, maybe in the last 100 years, 50 years, even more so. Yeah, but at least they've taken more from this than we have. Yeah. Sometimes they get a bit carried away, of course. Yeah, but I'm not going to go into that. Sadly, in our Muslim countries, the way they treat, never mind dogs and cats, the way they treat their horses and donkeys, is just lamentable. If somebody can enter the fire because of the way they treat, what are these musallin who pray five times a day and sa'imin who are fasting in Ramadan that's coming, what are they going to say to Allah of treating animals like that? Yeah. It is really a sad state of affairs that has nobody taught them these ahadith in those countries? Or have they listened to them and ignored them, blatantly ignored them? Yeah, how can you ignore something that's so clear? And they're in Bukhari Muslim. They're not in some other hadith book that nobody's heard of. And they're not, nobody's heard of them. They're not famous hadith. These are famous hadith. Most Muslims know about these hadith. So what happens to the brain or the mind when it comes to the horse in front of them? Yeah, and they're whacking it and it's got all bruises and it's got raw wounds, which the flies are flying on. Yeah, and they say, oh, well, he's poor, isn't he? Is poorness a real... Here we come with the idea of excuses again. And I mentioned this excuse of poorness. Yeah, many companions around the Prophet were poor. Would he tolerate them beating the hell out of the camel or the horse or the donkey and it would have open wounds on it? And what do you think the Prophet would have to say about that? When he had something to say about just overloading a camel, not because it had bruises on it, yeah, or a broken leg or open wounds, yeah, it was just overloaded and the camel complained to the Prophet. Yeah, this is Islam. Yeah. So it's not an excuse. Yeah, he's poor, so he's beating the hell out of his donkey. What's a poor donkey to do with it? Yeah. Why is a donkey being made to suffer? He's poor, so he's overloading the donkey. Oh, subhanAllah. Some of the things I've seen on horses and donkeys when they take them into the mountains and even in towns where they still are, how they overload the oxen and the donkey with stuff which, you know, and you look at it and you think, how, where's that from Islam and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know, where, how far away have we gone? Yeah, I can understand non-Muslims doing it who don't have this benefit of this guidance and deen. Yeah, we are the people supposedly of mercy. Yeah, here is about mercy to the creatures and getting reward for the mercy of forgiveness and as though you've given charity. Subhanallah. Yeah. I could say a lot more on that, but we'll move on. Now, so that's, and I've already mentioned about, so that's sadaqa, not to human, but to living creatures of all kinds, yeah, of not being cruel, yeah. And we had, in that regard, we had the issue of ihsan, didn't we? Inna Allah qatabal ihsan ala kulli shay. Surely Allah has ordained ihsan, goodness for all things. For all things, at least we covered before. And there we mentioned this idea as well. Yeah. Now, and then, as I've mentioned, various versions of this hadith and the previous one mentioned about dhikr. And I've already mentioned that in detail. So I'm not going to go into that again because I've already explained that about it being a sadaqah to yourself when you're unable to do anything else. In line with that, Prophet ﷺ said in some versions of hadith, and this is the basis for why ulama, fuqaha quite rightly say that this act is mustahab, yeah, highly recommended. What act? Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, the same version of this hadith, yeah, reported from Abi Dharr that the Prophet ﷺ said, Yusbihu ala kulli sulama min ahadikum sadaqa. Every morning, yeah, on each of your joints is a sadaqa. Same version of hadith, different words. But kullu tasbihatin sadaqa. Every subhanallah is a sadaqa. Wa kullu tahmidatin sadaqa. Wa kullu tahleelatin sadaqa. Wa kullu takbiratin sadaqa. Every alhamdulillah, every la ilaha illallah, every Allahu Akbar in it is a charity for you. You're benefiting, yeah? Wa amrin bil ma'roof sadaqa. And standing for that which is right and just in it is a sadaqa. That's like similar hadith to the previous one that we did, hadith 25, isn't it? Yeah? Wa nahyun anil munkar sadaqa. And standing against all that which is wrong, evil, and rejected, in it is a charity, sadaqa. Wa yujziu min dhalik rak'atan yarka'uhuma min ad-duha. Min ad-duha. And what compensates, yeah? Two rakas of Salatul Duha, yeah, it will suffice if you're unable to do any of these. Yeah. Two rakas of Salatul Duha. In another version, the Prophet ﷺ says, and this is hadith in Abi Dawood, again, hadith, this is of hadith of Abu Burayda, Abi Burayda, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Fil insan salatu miyata wa situna mafsila." That is similar to Aisha's hadith, Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhum. Yeah, who said, in every human being, there's 360 joints. Yeah, we already said that in a report from Ummul Mu'mineen. So this is another sahabi saying it. فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتَصَدَّقَ أَنْ كُلِّ مَفْسَلٍ مِنْهُ بِصَدَقَ. It is upon him or her for every joint to give a sadaqah. Yeah, encouraging to give. قَالُوا وَمَنْ يُتِيكُ ذَلِكَ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ. In this version, the sahaba said, and similar have been reporting in the hadith that I said to you, I've given versions of them before, who's able to be able to carry that out, O Messenger of Allah? 360, that's what they're saying. Yeah. So what did the Prophet say? He says, "An nuha'atu fil masjid tadfinuha." Yeah. The spittle that you bury that's in the mosque floor. Yeah. And something that you remove from the road. Yeah. Anit tariq. Washay'u tunahihi anit tariq. Meaning these are like your 360 joints, doing even just burying the spittle in the mosque. Removing something harmful from the road, which are examples that come in under hadith as well, isn't it? Of doing, of benefiting others by doing that. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدْ, if you don't find, meaning if you're unable to do that, or if you don't come across the opportunity of do that, yeah? I remember last time we said people are not always in a state even of physically helping others. They themselves need help. Yeah, so they'll say, well, what else can I do, O Messenger of Allah? So you can do dhikr then, yeah, because you're incapacitated, you're elderly and weak yourself. You're the one being lifted onto the mount. You're the one who's blind and being helped across the road. So, Ya Rasulullah, I've got nothing I can give in sadaqah. Oh, no, there is. You can say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. And in this one, yeah, فَرَكَعَتْ تَدْدُّحَ تُجْزِئُكْ. Praying two rakas of Salatul Duha will be, yeah, enough for you. Yeah, we'll do the job, we'll be sufficient. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. So I mention it because here is the idea of Salatul Duha being mustahab, yeah, as the fadila, yeah, because of the great reward it has in it, yeah. And the Prophet ﷺ, and this hadith I mentioned before as well, in regard to Salatul Duha, hadith in Tirmidhi, and he said it's Hassan, another said it's Sahih, but it's authentic, that the Prophet ﷺ said from Allah, that Allah says, أَنَّهُ قَالْ يَبْنَ آدَمْ, O child of Adam, son or daughter, إِرْكَ عَلِي مِنْ من أول النهار أربع ركعات أكفيك آخرة. Yeah. Pray at the beginning of the day four rak'ahs. Yeah. I will be enough for you till the end of it. And ulama said this is the four rak'ahs which are outside the normal rak'ahs. Four, pray at the beginning of the day. Yeah. Four, pray at the beginning of the day. It could mean the two rakahs of Fajr and then two of Salatul Duha. But it could mean four of Salatul Duha as well. Both meanings are possible. Yeah? Both meanings are possible. So what and then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says in a hadith in Bukhari Muslim, he said, أوصاني خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم. My beloved advised me, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yes, Abu Huraira saying it. خليلي. بثلاث, on three things. That's personally, he said to him. Yeah. He said, بصيام ثلاثة أيام. Yeah. في كل شهر. To fast 3 days every month. Yeah. And to pray two rak'ahs of Salatul Duha. Yeah. Wa an awtara qabla an anam. And that I should pray witr, or end on an odd rakat before I go to sleep. Three things. In that is Salatul Duha as well. As I said, the hukum of Salatul Duha is mustahab. Its time is about 20 minutes or so after the sun has risen, not during sunrise. Some said once the sun has risen by a short spear's length above. Reality is it's about, if we apply it, when it says sunrise, once the sun has risen, yeah, 15, 20 minutes after that is the time for Salatul Duha, not before that. And it carries on to 15, 20 minutes before the sun reaches its noon, its zenith. Yeah? 20 minutes before that. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu an, he says, and this is a hadith which is in Tirmidhi, he says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yeah, yusalli duha hatta naqul la yada'uha, wa yada'uha hatta naqul la yusalliha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray Salatul Duha so regularly that we thought he will never leave it. And then he would leave it at times, and we thought he'll never pray it again. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah. So this is Prophet also being careful that people think, oh, I have to start doing this all the time. So purposely, he's leaving it completely for long periods of time. Then he does it with mu'adhaba regularly as well. And we thought he'd never leave it. And one of the things regards to its time is various hadith in Sahih Muslim from Zayd ibn Arqam. Zayd ibn Arqam ra'a qawman yusalluna min ad-duha faqal. He saw some people praying Salatul Duha, and he said, Ama laqad alimu anna salata fi ghayri hadhi sa'a afdal. Yeah, if only that you knew that the salah not at this time is better, more virtuous. In other words, they were doing Salatul Duha at the wrong time, either late or they were doing it during sunrise. Yeah, that's the indication you get. And he says, Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aqal. Surely the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salatul Awwabin Hina Tarmadul Fisal. Salatul Awwabin, which means this is another name for Salatul Duha. Salatul Awwabin is Hina Tarmadul Fisal. What does that mean? That the newly weaned camels, when the heat of the sun is felt by them, in other words, sun's come up properly, that's the time of Salatul Awwabin or Salatul Duha. Yeah. Some people said Salatul Awwabin is a separate salah, which is between Maghrib and Isha, and it is between 8 and 12 rak'ahs. This is based on a weak hadith, which is rejected, and these ahadith on Salatul Duha actually mention Salatul Awwabin interchangeably with Salatul Duha. So authentic hadith in the likes of Sahih Muslim, yeah, and others clarify what Salatul Awwabin is. Awwabin comes from those who do Tawbah. That's another name for Salatul Duha. Duha is its time. Duha means morning, doesn't it? Yeah. The morning prayer, even though it's voluntary. Yeah, it's not Salatul Fajr. And Salatul Awwabin is another name for Salatul Duha. That's for clarification for us. How many rakahs? Sa'id ibn Mansur, one of the compilers of hadith, mentions from Al-Hasan al-Basri, Tabi'i, that he was asked, Hal kana ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusallunaha? Did the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray Salatul Duha? Yeah. Faqal, Hasan al-Basri said, Na'am, yes. Kana minhum man yusalli rakatain. From amongst them, those who used to pray two rakats. Yeah. Wa minhum man yusalli arba'an. And there were those who used to pray four. Yeah. And those who used to, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمُدُّ إِلَىٰ نِصْفُ النَّهَارِ, those who used to carry on till noon. Yeah, meaning just before noon. So they carry on two rakahs and carry on without limits. Some actually, like Imam Tabari, the famous Imam Ibn Jarir, and some of the Shafi'iyya, said its limit was 12 rakahs. Yeah, because this was reported in one of the reports, the Prophet prayed 12 rakahs of Salatul Duha. But reality is, as is mentioned by Ibrahim al-Nakhai, again, and others, saying there's no limits. Because it's voluntary prayer, its minimum is 2, but there's no top limit. So you've got some companions praying all the way towards before the sun reaches its zenith. And they could go through, 12, 14, 16, depending, yeah? A hadith which mentions, Umhani, for example, says the Prophet ﷺ, Salla subatu duha samani rakat yusallim min kulli rakatain. He used to pray, the Prophet ﷺ, that she saw him pray for Salatul Duha 8 rakahs, and he used to do salam, taslim, after each 2. Yeah, he used to do it in 2s, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is reported in Abu Dawood, and it is authentic. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, qalat, kana nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusalli duha 4 rakat wa yazid ma shaa Allah. The Prophet ﷺ used to pray 4 rakahs for Salatul Duha, and he would increase on that, yeah, whatever Allah willed. That also shows you no limit from that indirectly, which is reported by Ahmad, and it's also in Sahih Muslim, this report. Just to mention that that the Prophet ﷺ, one hadith in Sahih Muslim says from Zayd ibn Arqam, one I reported from before, who's telling the people of his time after the Prophet ﷺ, you're praying it at the wrong time, because the Prophet ﷺ said this is when you pray it, when the newly weaned camel, yeah, when the sun, the heat of the sun is felt by them, yeah, which is Ramidat al-Fisal. Fisal are those who are weaned camels, and Ramidat means the heat of the sun is felt by them. And he reports, again, in Sahih Muslim, Kharaja Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala ahli Quba. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Medina to go and visit the people of Quba, yeah, which is a few miles outside of the main town of Medina. It's in Medina now. You go to Masjid Quba, it's just 10 minutes drive, yeah? 10, 15 minutes drive with all the traffic, etc. Otherwise, it's very near. Wahum yusalloon. So Prophet ﷺ arrived there and they were praying. Faqal, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Salatul Awwabin. Use the word Salatul Awwabin for duha again. Yeah. Iza ramidat al-fasal. Yeah. When the weaned camels feel the heat of the sun. Yeah, in other words, you're praying at the wrong time, Prophet ﷺ said. That's a hadith which clarifies that he actually said that when he arrived to clarify for the people of Quba. Now, something else about Masjid al-Quba, while we're on that topic, the Prophet ﷺ, in authentic hadith, is mentioned. He used to visit Masjid Quba, the people of Quba, on a Saturday, quite regularly. And he used to go there and pray 2 rakahs. Yeah, this is a sunnah. He used to pray 2 rakahs when he used to go there. And he also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these 2 rakahs, if we're there, obviously, if we're able to do it, just to follow his sunnah, he can do it as voluntary. Yeah, or you can do it part of an obligatory prayer, which would cover that. Yeah, which would cover the sunnah, depending on what time you arrive there. Yeah, So that it would cover that. And in fact, you could pray the obligatory prayer and still do two rakat anyway. Yeah, all that's included in that. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, other hadith mention the same about him coming there and praying two rakats. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a hadith in Nasa'i, he said, "Man tatahara fi baiti, thumma ata masjid Quba, fa salla fihi salatan, kana lahu ka ajri umrah." Whoever makes purifies themselves in their home, meaning does ghusl or wudu, and then arrives at Masjid al-Quba and prays in it, doesn't specify, prays in it, then he or she will have the reward of Umrah. Now, this is authentic hadith. Interesting. So Masjid al-Quba doesn't have the category, it's not one of the masajid like Haram having 100,000 rewards for each salah and 1,000 at the Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina, and the most authentic is not 500 but 250 times the reward of each salah in Al-Quds, Masjid al-Aqsa. Okay, and there's nothing like that here, no multiple reward, but equivalent of Umrah. This can also be understood to mean the people of Medina, because he's saying whoever makes the wudu and tahara in their at their house and then leaves and goes, well, we're not going to do it from Britain and then go, because okay, it can mean the people of Medina, something that was specific given to them if they do that. It can, however, still possible to take it wider than that. Yeah. Of course, it's not same as Umrah. It's telling you the great reward in it. Doesn't mean it is Umrah. You don't say, I'm just going to pray two rakats of at Masjid al-Quba, I've done Umrah. No, you haven't. Umrah is Umrah. You understand? When it mentions things like that, some people misunderstand it. Yeah. Okay. That's something about, I wanted to mention about Salatul Duha. Now, let me just last couple of things I want to mention. This hadith and the other various versions and the previous hadith is a classic example of what Islam in a nutshell is really about. And as I've said for many years, Islam, its essence, after believing in Allah and not doing any shirk with Him, believing in Allah as the one to be worshipped. This is very important to mention, because it's not just believing in Allah. La ilaha illallah doesn't mean there is no God but Allah only. It means there is no God worthy of worship. Yeah. To just believe in God is not enough. But to worship God is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Very important, because there are people who believe in God, but they're too arrogant or ignorant to worship Him. Yeah, usually arrogant. That belief is not going to help them. Yeah, it may do as a last resort. Yeah, when at the when finally anybody with even an atom's degree of belief will be taken out of hellfire. That's an authentic hadith by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it may help them as long as they didn't do shirk. That's the proviso. Yeah. But really, it's meaning the essence of believing in Allah, to worship Him, not associating partners with Allah. The rest of Islam is about giving to others. benefiting others is the essence of this deen. And don't these ahadith bring it out? Yeah. Everything I've been talking about for many weeks in all these sessions for this hadith number 26 and 25 is sadaqah, 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 materially, wealth-wise, and otherwise. It's what you give to others is going to come back to you. And that's, it's so beautiful, this deen. Including animals, including the environment, looking after, being kind. And there's a complete encouragement. Yeah, that's why the hadith here comes, ala kulli salama. It's like an obligation, like you have to do this with your life and your blessing Allah's given you, that every joint, yeah, has a duty to be giving and giving and giving in charity. Yeah, that really is the essence of Islam, as I often say. And I reminded last week, the local schools, they were doing Alhamdulillah, voluntarily, they're doing charity fundraising for the earthquake victims in Altrincham Grammar School and North Kestrian. They had a food sale, and I was encouraging them, saying, yeah, this is the essence. I was telling the boys and the girls there, this is the essence of Islam. There's great, great reward in all this, what you're doing. Yeah. And we really need to exemplify that. As I said earlier on, we have it. Yeah, and I mentioned the animals before. We don't exemplify. We exemplify the opposite. Yeah. And just being busy doing that, the idea of every day the sun comes up is the idea of constancy. Don't get hung up on the sun coming up. And I've said that before. It means a new day. Yeah. It doesn't mean to say if you don't see the sun come up when it's cloudy, it's not relevant anymore. That's not the idea. Yeah, it means every day that Allah's given you as a blessing, because every day is a day of gratitude, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Every day is a day of gratitude to thank Allah. And the best way to thank Allah is to benefit others. That's showing your gratitude, really. Yeah, really showing your gratitude. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ayah, and I mentioned it a few sessions ago, and I'll finish with this ayah as well and a couple of hadith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. So, and all of you worship Allah and do not associate any partners with Him. Look what the foundation is, as I started at the beginning. وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ. Not believe, worship Allah and don't associate any partners with Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرُبَى. Yeah. And now, ihsan. Ihsan is the best and good behavior. Includes, this is all this in these hadiths of sadaqah, is ihsan to others. Giving financially and otherwise benefit to others. This verse is saying, and give ihsan to, begins with the parents, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرُبَى, and to the relatives. It's always others. Look where it starts, though. Remember we said charity starts at home, begins at home. Look what the Quranic ayat is starting with as well. Parents and relatives. That relative can actually include your wife, family, children, everybody around you, if you're around the wider relatives. Yeah? Some difference in tafsir from whether mufassireen. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَنًا وَبِذُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and with the orphans. SubhanAllah. We are at the forefront of those who want to help orphans. All orphans. Yeah? وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and those who are poor, miskeen, the needy. Yeah? وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ, and the neighbors who are relatives, from the relative. In the neighborhood, those who are relatives, ihsan to them. Yeah, look how it's growing further and further away. And look where the priorities start. It's very important, the gradation to look at as well. Yeah, then Waljaril Junub, and that means neighborhood, those who are not relatives, they are strangers, meaning they're not blood relatives. they need ihsan from you as well. Fits with the other hadith we mentioned about neighbors. And these are hadith of helping others, doesn't it? Well, وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ, and the companion who's near you. Some said this includes the wife and the spouse and the husband and wife. I say it can be, but it, more likely it's earlier in the relatives. Yeah. This is anybody you have companionship with to have, do ihsan to them. Anybody you're in the company of. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَبَنِ السَّبِيلِ, and the traveler. Just a stranger traveling. Duty on you, Allah saying here, show them ihsan. وَبَنِ السَّبِيلِ, وَبَنِ السَّبِيلِ, وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, and what your right hands possess. That means slaves. Ihsan, no link and no picture of the kind of slavery that, yeah, was carried out by the West. We have a totally different picture of that. Yeah. Yeah. But we're of course, we're okay with slavery being cancelled. But even slavery at the time of the Prophet, they were like family. They were treated like family. Eat. Yeah. Give them the food you eat. Dress them in the clothes you dress them in. Yeah. When you ask them to do something like your children, don't put burden on them and help them. Well, that's what you do with your children. That's another topic. Yeah. وَبَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. The one who doesn't do any of this, look, this is all help, 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 give of ihsan to all. And these categories I've just mentioned includes all human beings. Doesn't it? And then the hadith and other ayats will include the animals. Here, ihsan is list of human beings. Then Allah says, in other parts, another hadith will show you ihsan towards animals. Isn't it? So to get the whole picture. Then Allah says, surely Allah does not love those who are full of boasting and pride. Arrogant, boastful. Arrogant and boastful, why is it end the verse like that? Because they're the ones who are not going to do that, who refuse to do that, who refuse to show ihsan to all this and give. It is believers who worship Allah who are going to give. Yeah. Subhanallah, despite our weaknesses, it is well documented that even in this country with the Muslims we have here, the greatest people of giving charity, yeah, here are Muslims. By far. Yeah. And we thank Allah and we praise Him for that. Not because of we are full of pride in our generosity. No, it should be an indication of our faith and iman of these ayat and of these hadith of giving, isn't it? Yeah. Surely Allah doesn't love those who are boastful, full of pride and arrogance, meaning they're not going to do that. And then He explains the next verse. الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. Who are they? Arrogant, boastful. Yeah. Those who are stingy and they encourage other human beings also to be stingy. Yeah. وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ وَيَكْتُمُونَ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. And they, يَكْتُمُونَ means they hide of that which Allah has given them of His bounty. What does this hiding mean? Two meanings. One, they don't do this ihsan and giving of the what Allah has given of their bounty. Yeah, hide means kenz, they keep it like, yeah, because they're stingy. So they're hiding means they're storing it. Yeah, greed. That's part of the meaning of this yaktumun. Well, yaktumun also means that some of them, you'll see that they go around as though they're still miserable, miskeen, and he's a multimillionaire, going around ragged clothes, looking miserable, because they're never spending on themselves, just storing, and they die. Yeah. We all know people like that. I certainly have seen them and in my life. Yeah, there are people like that. So they don't actually show even in their clothes and in their food, the bounty Allah has given them. Yeah, not to show off, because the verse coming after talks about those showing off. Yeah, but showing off and jamal in clothes and libas and things and nice food is thanking Allah is a totally different ballgame. Yeah, Allah's given you so much, you're thanking Him, and you know, you just eat dry toast every day, twice a day. That's not thanking Allah for His bounty. Yeah, and you're going around in rags, and you could afford not to wear rags. Yeah. So yaktumun includes that, by the way. Atahumullahu min fadli. Then Allah says, look how He ends this verse. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. And we are prepared for such kafirin, yeah, a humiliating punishment. Kafirin here means those who are ungrateful. Yeah. Kafirin, ungrateful, and it can have the mean disbelief. Double meaning. Yeah? Because it's ingratitude. And all these ahadith we've been dealing with, I said to you that every joint is to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving, helping others. Ya Allah, thank you for giving me. Give, 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 because I know that I'm going to get Allah's pleasure. And it's going to be multiplied. Whatever He's given you on this earth is no match for what He's multiplying for you in the hereafter. 10 to 700 times more reward. Yeah, on a day when the currency and material of this world will have no value. But what you give away is what's going to carry on. Isn't it? Yeah. So those ayahs are beautiful to finish with. The idea of constancy comes in the idea of every day the sun comes up, isn't it? It means carry on. As long as Allah's given you a life, a new day in life, yeah, carry on. And this is the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is his sunnah. Yeah. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported from Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih al-Bukhari, and there's many hadith like this, brothers and sisters. She says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala, that he said, saddidu wa qaribu. Saddidu wa qaribu. Sadd means, sadd is like a dam. Yeah. Saddidu is like there's holes, yeah, appearing in something, and water's leaking, and you carry on blocking the holes. Saddidu. It's like carry on doing little by little, yeah, to prevent the flood from coming out. Saddidu wa qaribu. People translate this in such ugly ways. If you look at the translations of this in even some of the translators into English, it's so far off the mark. This is what it means. Saddidu, carry on little by little. Wa qaribu. Who do you want to grow close to? Come close to Allah by doing good deeds, yeah? Which fits with the sadaqah of dhikr as well, doesn't it? And salatul duha, yeah? But by doing good deeds, helping others, saddidu means carry on doing it, yeah? Wa'alamu al-lain yudkhil ahadukum amaluhul jannah. And know all of you that it is not your deeds alone that are going to enter you into paradise. Wa anna ahabba al-a'mal adwamuha ila Allah wa in qal. And the most loving deeds to Allah are those which are done most regularly. Most regularly, even though they are little. Yeah. So the sunnah is not once a year I get a feeling of iman and I pour out everything, yeah, at that moment on one day, and then the rest of the year just goes by and I don't do anything. Nobody's saying that's bad, it's still good, but that's not the sunnah. And the idea from this hadith, every day the sun comes up, and the Prophet saying that Allah loves regular doing of things. Even though it's better doing a little, better giving a few pounds every day, yeah, or a few every week, but make it, because a habit of thing keeps shaitan away. A habit of zikr keeps shaitan away, and we need to keep him away every day, don't we, brothers and sisters? Not just one all in blank. So I'm going to do Salatul Layl. I'm going to stay awake all night, just tonight, and the rest of the year. Shaitan hasn't gone to sleep. Yeah. So the idea is, and also the idea is to do that which you're able to. And that comes out similar hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, alaykum min al-a'mali ma tutiqoon. Upon you are deeds which you are able to bear. Don't burden yourself that you do it one day and the rest of your month you're lying ill in bed. You understand? Or you give it everything away and then you're bankrupt and you become the miskeen. Yeah, so he's saying, don't go get carried away. Yeah, alaykum, subhan, this is Islam, isn't it? This is Islam being yusr and easy. Yeah. And therefore regular, but even if it's a little, it's a regularity. So upon you, do deeds what you're able to bear according to your ability. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمَلُّ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ. It is not Allah who will get fed up, but you will get fed up. And this Prophet ﷺ said in a context of somebody praying at night and they got tired and they tied ropes on the pillars of the mosque and they tied them to themselves so they could stand up. As though it was virtuous. Prophet ﷺ, take them down. This is not virtuous. Do what you're able to do. I'll apply that to our situation. Tarawih is coming soon. And people think they have to do 20, which is voluntary. And they're falling asleep, almost falling in the back. Yeah, just to stand there. They're not taking much in of reflection of the Quran, which is the purpose of it. Better you sit down. But you know why people don't sit down to have a break from two? It's because other Musallin are going to look at him and say, what's he doing? Look negatively at the person. Isn't that right? He dared sit down. Yeah, he might be elderly or he's got a bad leg. And to have a break from two so he can, you know, freshen himself, just sit down and reflect. They're going to be looking back and saying, what was he doing? So he's going to feel really bad. And that's not right. Because it's not obligatory prayer, man. He can sit down if he wants. It's nawafil, it's mustahab. He may be reflecting on the Quran. Oh, he's just having a rest and he's allowed to. Because that's what goes with the sunnah. Don't overburden yourself. You can't do it, don't. It's not Allah who gets fed up, but you'll get fed up. Yeah? How? Oh, I prayed all night long. There's so many nights. Yeah, and I hear people saying it. For themselves is to think inside. You know, shaitan brings it. Oh, you've done so much prayers. You've done it 30 years. How can you not be forgiven? And Prophet ﷺ said, nobody will enter paradise because of their good deeds. Yeah. Illa an yataghammadani Allahu bi rahmati wa bi maghfirati. Except that Allah covers him on her with his mercy and his forgiveness. And they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, what about you? He said, even I. Don't think that your deeds are just gonna, you've already decided I've got a ticket to Jannah, as some Christians say. Yeah, where are you going? I'm going to paradise. How do you know? Well, I know I'm going to paradise. Well, we say, I'm not sure. I hope I'm going to paradise. I ain't got a ready-made ticket that I've printed for myself. So that attitude of overdoing it can produce an attitude inside us that shaitan plays on. Yeah? Oh, I've done so much. Yeah? But the other side of it is getting fed up. Long, so you're getting, yeah? It's in human nature, standing there for 30 dakars, you know, and they get, the mind plays with you then. You get fed up. And Allah and His Messenger don't want you to produce fed upness with the Quran and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do less. Do less where you're not fed up and you can focus and you're fresh. And it'll be more effective. It's not the number, it's the quality. Isn't it? Very important. That's what's being said here in this hadith. It's not Allah who'll get fed up, but you'll get fed up. وَإِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْأَعْمَالِ لَلَّهِ. Again, the most loving of deeds before Allah, مَا دُوِّ مَا عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ قَلْبِ. Those which are done constantly, even though they're little. Yeah. Yeah, even though they're little, which are done regularly. So there's various ahadith, many ahadith about saddidu wa qaribu. Yeah, carry on saddidu, carry on little by little, and trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our life, every day, little by little. And trusting and relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and mercy. And the way of the believers always, of the Sahaba, before the Sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's been promised that his past and present future sins have been forgiven. Yeah, the greatest human being that ever walked the earth. Yeah, and he used to do istighfar 70 to 100 times a day or more. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? That's the attitude that we do, and then we say astaghfirullah, as we do at the end of salah, which is the sunnah of the Prophet when he says salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, he would say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Look at the humility that the Prophet taught us as believers. We don't do the worship of Allah and stand arrogantly, I'm going to paradise. We bow down and say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. That is the attitude of believers, isn't it? It is so important. Yeah, because it is only by the forgiveness and mercy of Allah that whether the deeds are going to be accepted, that we have a chance, yeah, to go to paradise. Yeah, and it may be that what we see as the smallest of deeds, yeah, yeah, giving a thirsty dog water to drink, that will wipe out all sins. Subhanallah, glory be to him. Yeah, so the attitude, these ahadith are bringing out the attitude of ihsan, of continuously, yeah, trying to do regularly good deeds, yeah, and primarily, if Allah has given us the ability financially to help, then ihsan means that. If we can't, then we can help them in other ways, then it means that. If we can't, then and all the list of things you can do in that regard, yeah, and if we can't, then at least do salatul duha or do dhikr. Yeah, with subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, if I'm sat in a chair, in a wheelchair, I can't do anything else. All of that, yeah, are regular good deeds, really for our benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, keep us on sirat al-mustaqim, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are regular in doing good deeds, and may Allah accept them as sadaqah for us, and forgive us, and shower His mercy upon us. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Any questions on hadith number 26, which we finally finished?
I have a question on Manche.
Yes, go ahead.
Does giving charity by direct debit every week, month, also count as doing something regular?
Of course it does. The question was, does giving charity by direct debit, weekly or a month, count as regular doing good deeds? Of course it does, however little it is. Yeah, but you're doing it, you don't, and when you set it up, make sure the intention's good. And actually it's good that you forget about it, because it's like when the Prophet said, yeah, one of the people given the shade on the seven people given the shade on the day of judgment, where there's no other shade except the shade of Allah, is the one giving with their right hand what the left hand doesn't know. It's a bit like setting up the, yeah, you know what you set up, but once you forget about it, it's going regularly, yeah? Yeah, and after years, you might realize, oh, I've been paying that, and you may not realize, but that will come back on the day of judgment, like mountains, isn't it? Fine. Any other question?
Sorry, there's a question from last week.
Yeah.
In relation to, a man saying salamu alaykum to a lady, but she's feeling intimidated and uncomfortable, does she still need to reply?
Yes, there's no exception given. The salam is, this is a problem with the culture. The salam isn't the shar. Salam isn't the evil. Salam is a duty and a right for every Muslim upon another Muslim, male or female. From the blessed mouth of the Prophet, many hadith in Bukhari Muslim. So if somebody is twisted, don't make the salam to be a problem. The problem is a disease in the heart. And if a culture has those problems, you don't get rid of the culture of doing salam. You get rid of the evil of that culture. You don't wipe away the salam. Yeah. You understand? You can't say, this person's fasting and they're still going around drinking and drugs. Shall we tell them not to bother fasting? Because he's not doing anything for him. Do we? That's like attacking the wrong thing. It's, the problem is the disease with the thing they need to work on. Salam is like a word of security and remembrance of Allah. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, somebody might be saying it like, hello, you know, shall we have dinner together? Well, you say, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and off you go. Salam is not suggestive. Its words are from Allah and His Messenger. Yeah, it is the greeting of Muslims. So, I hope that answers the question. Any other questions? Yes, sorry.
The hadith about the reward for salat and fajr, the sunnah being the world and everything in it, is that obviously in addition to the reward for salat and fajr?
Yes, that's separate. Yeah, two rakahs before fajr, it's one of the things the Prophet did constantly. And it's still not obligatory.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, just like Salatul Duha isn't. There are multiple rewards for certain things which are very virtuous. All ulama agreed that these are mustahab, yeah, from Sunnah.
If one misses the Sunnah, the Salatul Duha, does one have to make it up?
No. No. Because it's mustahab. Yeah. Same with Salatul Duha.
Almost akin to Farid.
Well, you can't make, nobody can make fard which Allah and the Messenger doesn't make fard. To do that is bid'ah. It's an innovation. You can do if you wish. You can pray it later, qada, if you wish. Don't have to.
Or is it better to wait for Salatul Duha? That was
kind of what Salatul Duha is a separate prayer. Yeah. You don't pray during sunrise. That's the idea. That's the idea.
Just one question on when Prophet Sassam used to go to Majlis Quba, and the two nafil that he prayed there was, could that have been Salatul Masjid?
Tahiyatul Masjid. It could have been, yes. It can come under that. It wasn't specified. You prayed two rakats, it can count. When you go there and you go to the mosque and pray two rakats, it's Tahiyatul Masjid. It covers that as well, you see. Yes. Good point. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Just one more. The Sunnah. This before Umayyad Stream and Quran, before the Maghrib prayer, is it not that, time not to pray, but pray after the Adhan, Maghrib Adhan? Is anything you can pray before two Sunnah, before, just before 5 days before the Maghrib?
Good question. Although it's not related with the Hadith that we're doing. The brother is asking a question about praying just before Salatul Maghrib. I think he means either before the sun has completely set or and before the Adhan, and what's the situation after the Adhan. There's big debate and difference of opinion amongst the Fuqaha and the Madhabs, Hanafiya, Shafi'iya, Malikiya, and Hanabila, in regards to praying during sunset. All of them agreed. Because the Sunnah, the Prophet said that do not pray during sunrise and during sunset. Yeah, because it sets between the horns of shaitan. Right. So now, and yet he said, when you arrive in the masjid, do not sit down until you pray two rakahs. That's mustahab. It's not fard. Yeah, nobody said it's fard. Nobody can. Now, some scholars said this is an exception to that Hadith, which is saying don't pray at sunrise and don't pray at sunset. This is an exception. Okay? Some said that. The few. By far the majority said the other way. And I believe I am of the opinion of the other way. But there's a difference of opinion, so we respect those. And so the others said, no. When he says pray two raka'as of Tahiyyat al-Masjid, it means except when the sun is setting and the sun is rising. So they made the exception the other way. And that is a majority opinion.
Yeah.
of the Hanafiya, of Shafi'iya, Malikiya, and Hanabila, most of them. Yeah, of so there is some debate on that. Yeah, and if somebody is doing it following that opinion, we respect that. It's scholarship. Yeah? Don't get hung up on it. Now, after the Adhan, many people just pray Maghrib straight away. Yeah. But there is authentic ahadith about the Prophet ﷺ saying, Sallu raka'atayn qabla al-maghrib. And he repeated it three times, if you wish. Pray two rakas, yeah, after adhan, he's talking about, yeah, of the Maghrib, if you wish. And he repeated it three times. And there is no evidence Prophet ﷺ ever doing it. But it's his qawl. It's his statement, encouragement. But there is evidence of Sahaba from authentic hadith doing these two rak'ahs, yeah? It is not obligatory, yeah? It is one of those, again, which is, if you're able to, it is not sunnah mu'akkada, yeah? This is very important. It is not like the two rak'ahs before Fajr. It is not like the four or two before Dhuhr and two after Dhuhr. It is not like the two after Maghrib, and it is not like the two after Isha. It is not of that level, yeah?
This is not a part of the Hayat al-Masjid, these two.
No. This is separate. This is after the Adhan. Okay. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. Allah bless you all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.